In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
Week 12 of the NFL season, I think, is when a lot of people start to realize the fantasy football campaign and the NFL season in general are winding down. Why? We have Thanksgiving football this week, and I know things are different this year. I'm not going anywhere for Thanksgiving. I'm living in South Carolina. It's going to be me and my old lady, and we're going to be making comfort food. I'm not going to be roasting the turkey. I'm going to be making mac and cheese, man. That's what I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to be watching football. But in week 12 of the NFL season, we still have injuries to discuss, and that's what we're going to do here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. My name is Joe Dolan, managing editor of FantasyPoints.com. His name is Edwin Porras, doctor of physical therapy. He lives out in California. He's our injury expert at FantasyPoints.com. He has done just an utterly spectacular job, and Edwin and I have kind of like fireside chats before the podcast each and every week. We talk about what's going on in our lives, and I've never even met the guy in person. That's the world we live in now. He's 3,000 miles away, but hey, I mean, that's just kind of what's happening. He went for a hike on Sunday, and he came back to, unfortunately, bad news about Joe Burrow, and that's going to be the major focus of what we're discussing here on the Injury and Waiver Wire podcast. Obviously, Tom Brawley will be joining me after the injury segment to break down what is a pretty shallow waiver wire for week number 12. But I want to welcome in Dr. Edwin Porras. Edwin, it's wonderful to be talking to you here on the Fantasy Points podcast. It is unfortunate, though, that we have to spend so much time talking about Mr. Joe Burrow.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Joe. It's been nice. This is number 12 that we started, that we've talked about these injuries. And, you know, I feel like we've gotten to know each other pretty well. And it's like you said, our little fireside chats are nice. So it's glad to hear that you're going to make a little comfort food. You're a Southern Belle now, after all. So it's going to be good that you're making some mac and cheese.
That's the first line of Gone with the Wind. My mom loved that movie, even though Gone with the Wind is very problematic now, from what I understand.
I have to be honest with you. I know it's a classic. Haven't seen it. Haven't read it. So
as somebody who did watch it, I watched it for history class in college. It doesn't necessarily hold up very well. Let's put it that way.
I'll just avoid it then.
I'm not just talking about how it might be problematic in this day and age, but I also mean it's just like, I think Vivian Leigh won an Oscar for it and for the role of Scarlett, and it is just completely overacted.
Maybe I'll just stick to talking about Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's what's the and it's going to take less time to do that as well than watching. It's good to be talking to you. We have to get into it. Joe Burrow suffered what is apparently just a catastrophic knee injury here. And I saw I presume, Edwin, you saw the mechanism of the injury.
I did.
Seeing it live. So a lot of times when you see like these ACL injuries or whatnot, you need to see it on replay to say, oh, the knee buckled, or, oh, you know, look at that. You know, it looks unstable. I mean, you could see this live even before the camera just cut away, because he threw a pass on the play, that it was not good. And his leg was planted and he got hit, contacted from both sides. From the front, he got contacted lower body. From the back, he got contacted upper body. A catastrophic mechanism for Joe Burrow. And according to Adam Schefter, this was the report yesterday, we had ACL and MCL damage and associated damage. And there was more information on that associated damage. So what we have right now, Edwin, is a couple of, I don't want to say conflicting reports, because obviously Adam Schefter does a phenomenal job. And Mike Garofalo of NFL Network does a phenomenal job. And this morning, about an hour ago, it's about 9:30 here on the East Coast, about an hour ago, Mike Garofalo posted a clip of him on NFL Network saying the Bengals doctors were actually, in as much as they can be encouraged about seeing a multi-ligament knee injury on film or on imaging, they were encouraged by what they saw. What is the disconnect here? What is your read on the situation based on what Adam Schefter has reported, based on the mechanism of the injury, based on what Mike Garofalo has reported? What can we anticipate for Joe Burrow here going forward in terms of his rehab? And what would be your read on the situation from afar, knowing that you haven't obviously had the opportunity to examine Joe Burrow?
Yeah, so there are definitely now at this point conflicting results, right? So let's just back up and look at the basics, right? If you have an isolated ACL injury, it's possible to be back between 8 and 10 months if you're an NFL player. That's about standard. It just depends. Every athlete's obviously different. But now you're looking at an injury, for example. At first, we thought it was just isolated ACL, MCL. And you always have to look at an ACL injury that has MCL damage, and you just assume that it has meniscus damage. That's why they call, unfortunately, in the orthopedic, orthopedic world, the sports medicine world, there's a name for the ACL, MCL, meniscus. It's called the terrible triad. So not really the moniker that you want to be carrying around as an athlete, but you tend to tear these three, around at the same time because they're very similar in terms of their mechanism. And so they just go hand in hand. So when you consider ACL, MCL, and meniscus injuries, the sort of bottom line, best case scenario, rehab goes smoothly, there's no hitch, it's 8 months. That is not as common. The average, overall average for an ACL, MCL, and assuming meniscus is 10 months. Okay, you add in a PCL, and that automatically bumps it from 8 to 12 months to a 9 to 12 month injury. And we know that Schefter reported last night that it's going to be that there's PCL involvement. So that's going to bump it back about 9 months. So we're looking at least 9 months for Joe Burrow. So the average, like I said, is 10 months. I'm really not looking at a timeline that's going to be that quick for Joe Burrow. But here's where I think maybe both things can be true with both reports. It can be true that Schefter's reporting PCL and PCL is involved. It can also be true that the Bengals medical staff watched the injury live and they said, holy bleep, no, 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 no. Because you can still have, I know that you use the word catastrophic. A true catastrophic injury would be ACL, MCL, meniscus, PCL, and LCL. I've said so many CLs, I don't even know. Basically, it's all of the ligaments. And you can also have dislocation of the patella. And so you can also have disruption of the patellar ligament tendon, etc. That would be,
from what I understand, might have been what happened to Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, that was really, I have to go back and read. But yes, if I remember correctly, that Teddy Bridgewater had a pretty, what I would say, his knee exploded, right? So that's essentially what the Bengals avoided. When you consider they drafted Joe Burrow number one overall, the future sort of on his shoulders, the future looked bright. They looked at that. And yes, when I saw the injury, I said, oh, dear God. So they can still be optimistic, because his knee just didn't frankly explode. But this is still going to be probably at least a 10-month injury for Joe Burrow.
And that would put him right at the brink of week number one. And, I guess you could compare this to some similarities with what Carson Wentz suffered in 2017. And obviously it took him longer than getting back for week one to be ready to play. He missed the first two games of that season. You could argue he hasn't been the same since. It took him a while to even get back and be comfortable. So, obviously Joe Burrow has a long road ahead of him. That's the long and the short of it.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing too about this, the secondarily, his mobility, right? So you talk about Teddy Bridgewater, you talk about Carson Wentz. For the first 2 years after this injury, there is going to be something to watch there. Because the ACL actually takes just about 13 months, 13 to 15 months to fully integrate, because they take it from another part of the body. to fully integrate into the bone, to fully sort of become the tissue, that the native tissue of the knee. So the re-injury risk is a little higher. I'd have to go into the surgery archives or talk to a surgeon to know what the most likely type of graft that they'll use. So they can either use hamstring, they can use quad tendon. Those are the most common. They don't tend to use cadavers anymore. They're not as good. So it also depends, you know, because over the next 2 years, like you saw with Will Fuller, like you've seen with a lot of different, like you saw with Dalvin Cook, players who might have used a hamstring graft, they get hamstring strains. So that's going to be something to watch as well. It's just right now, if, especially if you're a dynasty player, if you're like, hey, I'm willing to stash and just wait and sit on Joe Burrow right now because I know he's going to be good in the future. I think that his ceiling was so high that his athleticism will at least remain something that's going to help him to continue to move around to be a little bit more mobile. But it's going to be hard to say, oh yeah, he's going to be this, you know, even if he ends up being great, you're always going to have that in the back of your head. Like, I wonder if he would have moved around a little bit more if it wasn't for this injury.
And that's always tough to say. You know, I know Eagles fans are asking that about Carson Wentz right now, you know, like have the injuries come home to roost. But we're all thinking of Joe Burrow. He was having a great rookie season. He gave the Bengals fans some hope, and you know, obviously there's not much of that right now for Cincinnati. We have to continue going over to Cincinnati. Joe Mixon, you and I told you before the podcast, I'm sick of talking about his foot. But he ends up on IR now, and he injured the foot in week 6. They called it a midfoot sprain. He finished that game, hasn't practiced since, and then gets put on IR right before week 11. What the hell could have happened here, Edwin?
Yeah, it's hard to tell, right? Because you can look at the research and the data, and you can look at the coaching habits and the injury management, but you never really know. Zach Taylor has a really weird relationship with the media, and it seems like he has a really weird way of conveying what happens with injuries. Just last week, they asked, you know, is it time for Joe Mixon to start being integrated into the offense again, into practice? He literally said that's the plan. And which is the most frank sort of bold-faced lie I've ever heard a coach say, or he's just not connected with the medical staff, and you know, that's less likely. But he's like, yeah, this is the week, and then he gets put on IR. Mixon does. So it's really a matter of how coaching staffs view their players, how they manage their injuries, and just like with AJ Green last year, I mean, every week until about week 8. Zach Taylor is coming out saying, yeah, we were really going to like to get him out here. Yeah, we're going to get him out here. Yeah, we're going to get him out here. Well, AJ Green didn't play one game in 2019. And it sort of seems like this is what they're doing with another star, is that they're sitting him. Now, he could have had an exacerbation. He could have had something that happened to the foot, something that happened in rehab where he had a setback and they basically said, okay, no, we're just going to automatically shut you down. It could be roster construction, man, like issues. Since the 3-week IR is available to the teams this year, maybe they needed to bring up an extra, I don't know, you know, outside linebacker or cornerback or offensive lineman. That's where you'd be more tuned in than I am. And maybe they knew he was going to be out at least another 3 weeks, so they just went ahead and deactivated so they could use the roster spot. Yeah. There's just a lot that we don't know with Joe Mixon. But at this point, the question of will he come back and play?
You're right.
At this point, I'm just asking why. If AJ Green didn't come back last year when the, you know, Bengals were basically tanking for Burrow, blowing for Burrow, as you called it so eloquently, what would be the point of bringing Mixon back this year?
Yeah, obviously, it's just I wouldn't expect to see him. Now, let's get to another big injury, and it's huge because of, as you wrote in your breakdown on fantasypoints.com, your injury roundup, Julio Jones with the hamstring here, it's bad news because he's obviously been playing through it all year. He gutted it out last week, but the issue with Julio Jones for fantasy, in addition to obviously not having Julio Jones, is Matt Ryan has been awful when Julio Jones isn't in the lineup. I think he's barely been a top 24 quarterback when Julio Jones isn't in the lineup. What are you seeing with Julio? And is the fact that this is an aggravation give you cause for concern?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we talk a lot about age. I talk a lot about age when it comes to players. It's not like 31 is, you know, that much older. I mean, I'm 27. It's not like Julio Jones is much older than I am. I'm also not a superstar elite athlete.
I'm older than Julio Jones. We don't think of athletes like this. Like, we're like, Julio, oh my God. You know, we saw Alshon Jeffrey in Philly try to jump for a ball, and you're like, holy God. As John Hansen said, the guy looks like a mummy out there. And Alshon Jeffrey's like 4 years younger than I am.
it's funny, right? Because, like, when you say the problem with athletes, like with Vince Carter, I remember one time, like a couple of years ago, they interviewed Vince Carter, and he was like, the problem isn't getting up. The problem is landing. So that's really what you have with players. But yeah, so anyway, you look at Julio Jones. He's 31 years old, and a risk factor for hamstring injuries is age. Another risk factor is previous hamstring injury. The last risk factor is flexibility. At this point, those are all in play for Julio. He tried to come back against the Packers, I believe, in week 4. And only made it to halftime, had to be ruled out. The risk for that happening again is super high, extremely high. I also find it interesting that they already came out on either Sunday night or Monday and they said, oh, he'll be a game time decision. How do you know that he's going to be a game time decision before you even see him again on the practice field? Yeah. I don't think he plays, to be honest. And even if he does, I don't want to touch him, especially in cash.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Man, and I have Adam. So yeah, here's what happened in my 14 team league, by the way, where I this is my cursed league. I won it in 2008. It was the year before I entered the fantasy industry, and I haven't won it since, which is like super embarrassing. But my two quarterbacks in that league are Joe Burrow and Matt Ryan. So yeah,
I won
this week, but Matt Ryan loses Julio, and poor Joe Burrow. You know what happened to him. So yeah, that sucks.
Go out there and grab what's the backup, Ryan Finley.
Oh my God. Yeah, right. I'd rather put you in there at quarterback. yeah, I don't know about, you know, it was like, it's one of those things where like in a 14 team league, you're like, I got Burrow and Ryan. That's a great quarterback combo. I don't need to work the waiver wire. I don't need to go get Taysom Hill. And you know, then this stuff happens. One more quarterback to talk about, and then we're going to let you go, Edwin. Speaking of true game time decisions, actually, let's talk two quarterbacks, but let's start with Teddy Bridgewater. Speaking of game time decisions, he was a true game time decision in week 11. There was no report that they were going to deactivate him until they saw him working out. They chose to err on the side of caution. It worked out for them. PJ Walker did just fine in his stead. And Detroit couldn't do anything. Carolina wins the game. But the fact that Teddy Bridgewater was out there working out, getting ready to play, probably is a good sign for his availability, if not this week, but next.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Unless this is one of those injury situations where we've seen with teams where they're week to week, they're week to week, they're week to week. And in reality, we turn around and we find out, oh, okay, this injury actually was like a grade 2. They just did a really good job of making it seem like it was a grade 1. Unless that's the case, and I don't think it is with Teddy, I think you'll see him this week. I think his mobility will be pretty much back to baseline at this point, and I think that he'll be able to put up some numbers for you, especially since you just lost Matt Ryan and Joe Burrow.
So let's talk about Drew Brees, by the way, because I saw somebody tweet that when they heard that Drew Brees had 11 fractured ribs, I saw somebody tweet, basically, which was my thought on the whole situation. Somebody tweeted, here is my screen after hearing Drew Brees fractured 11 ribs. And it was basically a Google search. How many ribs do I have? And I was in the same way. I was like, do we even have that many ribs? This seems like a really nasty injury for Drew Brees. And that's why the Saints had to put him on IR.
Yeah, man. There are 24 ribs. Right. The last couple of them are sort of floating is what they're called. They're not really attached to your rib cage, but you have 24 ribs and he fractured, it sounds like, almost 50% of them. So that's a problem. That's a problem. The thing is that you have to wait for those fractures to heal. I know that the reports came out after about, oh yeah, they looked and then they found even more fractures. That's typically because fractures start to heal. I mean, obviously almost immediately, swelling goes down. Maybe they got a CT scan versus an X-ray. And they saw just all the damage that was happening. And yeah, I mean, this is as bad as it sounds. They put him on IR. The quickest that Drew Brees could come back is what now? Week 14, I believe, is what I wrote. Yes. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily plan on him carrying you through the playoffs. This is something that unless the Saints are really desperate, which they really shouldn't be.
I mean,
Taysom Hill
played pretty well, right?
Yeah, he did okay, right? 233 yards, a couple rushing touchdowns, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So
pretty good.
You know, they can manage. They can manage without Drew Brees. I wouldn't expect him back. Even at week 14, I don't know if he'll be back for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Edwin, thank you so much. I'm currently talking I'm in our Slack talking about our optimizer because Taysom Hill's tight end eligibility at ESPN got removed. It also got removed at FanDuel. I got bad info about that. He's no longer available at tight end on FanDuel either. So obviously FanDuel and ESPN made I differ a little on ESPN because in season long, I think you should be able to take advantage of positional eligibility because that's what happens in fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball and things like that. It's a little different for football because most guys in football play just one position. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. I'll talk about it with Tom Browley. He is Edwin Porras at FB Injury Doc on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter and read his reports at fantasypoints.com. His injury roundup is wonderful each and every week. Thank you, Edwin, so much. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, my friend.
Appreciate it, Joe. I hope you do, too. Make sure you enjoy that mac and cheese.
Oh, I will. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over, thankfully. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. So you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the United States visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore, total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it. I'll see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Tom, we are dealing with a waiver wire that, hey, I know we've been saying it a lot this year. Oh, it's not that great. Well, this week it is barren.
Yes.
Utterly barren. Let's get to the running back position first, because this is where we might have some guys available where you could get some help, maybe for one guy this week and then for another guy going forward. And let's start with Gus Edwards of the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens play on Thanksgiving Day, and both J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram have tested positive for COVID-19, which means they are not going to be able to play. So it looks like Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are going to be the backs there. And we know that the Raven offense has struggled this year. However, part of the reason I think the Raven offense has struggled is this asinine three-man running back rotation that they seem to be forcing their way into and that they finally seem to get away from in week 11 when they let J.K. Dobbins take over. Unfortunately, J.K. Dobbins isn't going to be available this week, so you're going to think Gus Edwards is going to be getting the majority of the carries against Pittsburgh. The unfortunate thing is it's a bad matchup. The good news is, in this bad matchup, the Ravens ripped him up on the ground a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, the waiver wire, like you said, was pretty barren until, you know, this happened here. Gus Edwards is out there, 28% home. Justice Hill is widely available if you need help. But, unfortunately, yeah, it looked like Dobbins had finally emerged. You know, we have no idea if that was a decision they made or maybe Ingram was feeling under the weather during that game. But, it finally kind of happened there. They kind of used a two-man approach last week. But now it's going to be, I mean, we haven't really ever seen, you know, Justice Hill get a huge role in this offense. I think we're going to see a lot of Gus Edwards going against the Steelers this week. He's the ultimate, waiver wire pick up and play this week. I would consider him like an RB2. He had 87 rushing yards and a touchdown 5.4 yards per carry in that matchup with the Steelers. You know, this is never a matchup that we're targeting here going against that Steelers defense. But, you know, there's going to be volume. You know, and we never know how long this is going to last. You know, we've seen players stay on the list for multiple weeks. And sometimes guys come off very quickly. So, but at the very least, we know that we're going to have both Edwards and Hill in this matchup, getting probably a decent amount of work. And, you know, maybe Hill is a viable play in deeper formats, you know, maybe as a flex option in some 12-team leagues if you're really hurting. You know, the Steelers are, you know, four and a half point favorites in this game. So maybe the Ravens, you know, could be pressed into throwing a little bit more in the second half. And, you know, maybe that helps Hill a little bit. But Edwards is definitely the top option coming out of this backfield this week.
Another guy who, I mean, I'm actually surprised he's been dropped in as many leagues, but maybe I shouldn't be because the production was just not there. But it's James White of the Patriots, who's available in 40% of Yahoo leagues. And with Rex Burkhead going on IR with the torn ACL, James White had production this past week. He caught six passes, 64 yards on nine targets, which was a team high. He really has not been nearly as utilized with Cam Newton at quarterback as he was with Tom Brady. But you would have to think, with the fact that, you know, that the Patriots just don't throw the ball to Damian Harris and Sony Michel returning, who has never been a big time receiver in that offense, James White's going to have a significant role here.
Yeah. I mean, Burkhead, I mean, he affects, I think, you know, James White a little bit more than Damian Harris. You know, any Damian Harris owners out there, you know, I wouldn't be too happy. That means we're probably going to see Sony Michel active, and you know, he's, you know, he plays kind of the same role as Damian Harris. You know, the Burkhead injury kind of opens things up here a little bit for White. You know, saw his best usage last week. They really threw the ball a little bit against the Texans defense, which was a huge surprise, considering the Texans have been gashed on the ground quite a bit this season. But you know, looking at the schedule, they're, you know, going to be playing in some games. You got Arizona, Chargers, Rams, Miami, Buffalo. Those are all games that could project to be negative game scripts for, you know, for the Patriots down the stretch. So, you know, that's beneficial to James White. You know, he's going to be on the field more in those obvious passing situations. So, you know, he's been quite the disappointment. I know you said you're shocked. I'm not. You know, he has not been fantasy relevant for, you know, quite a while here, since, you know, this offense just hasn't fit him. Rex Burkhead has been playing well, but maybe we're going to get a little bit of a surge here in the final months of the final weeks of the season here with Rex Burkhead out of the lineup.
Yeah, so we're obviously going to gonna see a little bit extra James White here, Tom. That's about it, really, for running back.
Again, yeah, if you're really desperate, maybe like a Kerryon Johnson if DeAndre Swift isn't able to play. But, you know, Frank Gore, LaMichael Perine is, you know, has a high ankle sprain.
Frank Gore, yeah.
I mean, if you're playing them as RB2s this week, you're probably not going to win. Sorry about that, but you know, maybe if you're in some deeper formats, maybe those guys are on the radar for you.
So let's go to quarterbacks here, Tom, just briefly. And the big story today, this morning, is ESPN removed the tight end eligibility for Taysom Hill. I have a little bit of mixed feelings about that. It is definitely more fair that Taysom Hill is now a quarterback only. But as somebody who has played fantasy basketball and fantasy baseball, positional eligibility gaming it's part of the sport. And we never really get to see that in fantasy football. So if you're applying fantasy baseball kind of tactics to fantasy football, as you know, Tom, fantasy baseball, players can get positional eligibility added, but they don't lose it during the season.
Yeah.
They never take it away from a guy during the season. So there's a lot of fantasy baseball purists who are arguing that this is a really kind of a Bush League move on ESPN's part, but I see it in the other ways as well, because different positional eligibilities can break fantasy football in a way it doesn't break fantasy baseball. So I see ESPN's move here. He lost his eligibility as a tight end on FanDuel as well. Thank you for that week, winning people money. I mean, Tom, he was. I've never seen a player in my cash games rostered as highly as Taysom Hill was as a tight end.
And it makes complete and understandable. Yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm thinking back to like baseball, like a guy like, Gary Sanchez or so, you know, guys that could play, play a lot of first base or DH and they get like catcher eligibility. Yeah, of course you're going to get those guys that can, smack the ball. And you get a guy like Taysom Hill. I mean, you look around the tight end landscape and we're like begging for tight ends to get five or six targets in a game. And all of a sudden, we have a guy that's going to play quarterback and has the ball in his hands for 75 snaps in a game. Like, yeah, I mean, it makes complete sense why they have to, you know, these are two different scenarios. You know, baseball, you get four bats a game. It's not like, football here where he's handling the ball every time. So they had to make changes. I disagree with anybody that says that they, you know, have to keep giving them the tight end eligibility.
Yeah, it does break the game, but he's still rostered in just 42% of leagues. And Tom, you know, you and I were sitting here. Well, actually, no, we weren't sitting here because we thought we were talking Jameis last week at this stage. But Taysom Hill, I think, played very well in week 11. I mean, as somebody who is a charter member of the I Hate Taysom Hill Club, I will admit he played very well. And like, even as we were saying on the live stream on Sunday morning at fantasypoints.com, Tim Tebow was a good fantasy quarterback and he was terrible. Why? Because he ran, he was the goal line back. Well, Taysom Hill goes 17 to 22 passing and runs for two touchdowns. Didn't anticipate that he would be the guy to resurrect Michael Thomas's career, but here we are. He's probably picked up in your league if you're in a pretty competitive league, but he's still rostered in just 42% of Yahoo leagues. I view Taysom Hill as a QB1 right now.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going to be like a top eight type of option, top eight, top 10 type of option here for as long as he starts. And we know Breeze is going to be out of the lineup for at least the next two games against Denver and Atlanta again. We just saw him crush that matchup last week. And you know, two very, very, you know, pretty good matchups here, especially against the Falcons again next week. So, you know, he needs to be added in every format he can be played. So, yeah, I mean, the big surprise to me was that they kind of ran the Drew Brees offense still. But, you know, with the added wrinkles of some design carries and a little bit more deep passing and, you know, those are
and no targets for Alvin Kamara.
And no, that was unfortunate. Yeah, I was even looking at some of the average depth of targets and stuff like that. And he was near the bottom of the league last week. It was kind of surprising. And he had, I think it was just the one target to Alvin Kamara and no catches there for the first time in his career. So, you know, kind of bizarre. I would think that they'd get him, get Alvin Kamara going a little bit going this weekend. But he's the kind of quarterback we're looking for. He's going to throw it deep, looking for the big plays, and he can run. So, you know, those are the money plays for quarterbacks in fantasy football. So, you know, he is on the radar to stay here.
Teddy Bridgewater, Tom, it looks like he's going to play this week, even though the Panthers are on bye in week 13. He almost played this week at Minnesota for Teddy Bridgewater. It's a good matchup. And then he gets Denver at Green Bay and at Washington. And the reason I'm looking at guys like Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Derek Carr, maybe Kirk Cousins, I'm somebody who has Matt Ryan in a league, and Matt Ryan has been a slam dunk QB1 when Julio Jones is healthy and not even a QB2 when Julio Jones is hurt. So maybe if you have Matt Ryan, you're looking at one of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, Julio is a very big key for that entire Falcons offense here this week. We're going to want to watch his status. But yeah, I would not be shy about moving towards some other options here. But yeah, Teddy, it looks like he'll be back in the lineup here. We saw Andy Dalton throw for three touchdowns. You know, that Cowboys offense, I think, had like 41 points in the first four games without Dak Prescott. And so Dalton goes for three touchdowns last week against the Vikings. That just shows you how broken that Bears offense was from 2 weeks ago with Nick Foles. They couldn't even move the ball on the Vikings. But yeah, and there's some other options here. Daniel Jones is, I think people would be surprised to know that he's third in rushing yards at the QB position now. Had a really rough opening start to the season, but is starting to heat up here. And he has an awesome schedule down the stretch here. Cincinnati, they're not going to be able to move the ball this week without Joe Burrow. So they could really maybe put up some points, you know, that Giants offense here. Seattle, Arizona, and Cleveland. So it was a really rough go for a guy like Daniel Jones early in the season. But the receiving core is, you know, getting healthy here with Sterling Shepard back, and he's really starting to run. So, you know, there's some and a guy like Derek Carr as well, you know, played well last week. Hopefully the Falcons can, you know, keep pace a little bit this week. I mean, that seems to be the key with Derek Carr. They're content to run the ball with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Parker if they have a lead. But if the Falcons can, you know, give them a little bit back and forth, Derek Carr has been pretty good whenever he gets up over 30 pass attempts.
Wide receiver, Tom, Michael Pittman, I think we saw this week at 44% in leagues. He's just on the fringe of availability in waiver wires. I mean, he's probably picked up in your league, but if he's not, go get him. Anything else here? I guess Nelson Aguilar, although the drops have come back, but he's getting open and they're using him over Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, he's been, you know, it's been off and on. He's been a boom or bust type of option here. You know, either going off for a lot of points or barely scoring. But, you know, he was very, you know, very good for fantasy last week with 88 yards and a touchdown. He's kind of been, you know, he has been the number one wide receiver here. Darren Waller is always the number one option in this passing game. But Henry Ruggs is not getting it done. He's just a gadget type player. They just run him deep and give him a couple screens. And he has not lived up to expectations as a rookie. And, you know, Hunter Renfrow is a nice slot receiver. But Aguilar has kind of been the number one receiver here. So he's a guy you can consider. You know, the receiver is kind of tough. I mean, not a lot of great options out there, but I think everybody's kind of settled at receiver at this point. Maybe you're looking at a guy like Breshad Perriman. We gave him a bunch of hype this offseason, but the injuries, you know, have bit him in the butt again this season. But he's been healthy here recently, and we have consecutive games where he's made, you know, long touchdown passes from Joe Flacco. They, you know, they of course have their connection from the Baltimore days at the start of his career. So maybe he can keep that going. Not an easy matchup against the Dolphins though this week.
You might have lost Taysom Hill as a tight end. Unfortunately, Tom, there is like jack all at the tight end position out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, maybe Jordan Reed here. You know, for as long as he's going to stay healthy. Does have some decent matchups coming up, you know, put up production before their bye week, you know, had a quiet game in his first game back, but, you know, he's been, you know, Nick Mullins has always kind of targeted his tight ends, you know, for as long as he's been in the lineup. So, you know, he's a guy you can consider. They're going against the Rams this week. That's, you know, the Rams are pretty tough on receivers, but, tight ends get targeted quite a bit. You know, we saw, you know, last night with Gronk and Brake getting quite a few targets in that game. And, so he's a guy you can consider here. You know, one guy, if we're going a couple guys, if we're going real deep, maybe people are really hurting, you know, Jordan Akins, you know, Randall Cobb, you know, he could be done for the season here. He suffered a pretty nasty toe injury. So, you know, that opened things up a bit for him. He had a season best 83 yards. Maybe if you're looking at your FanDuel DraftKings Turkey Day lineups there, I haven't seen the pricing yet, but maybe Jordan Akins is pretty cheap there. So he would be a guy to consider. And, you know, going real deep is Will Disley. You know, Greg Olsen could be done for the season. He suffered, suffered another a foot injury. And, you know, that's kind of been an issue for him throughout his career. So that, you know, they were running a three-man committee. Jacob Hollister's also going to still be involved. Maybe Hollister's the guy to get, but I'll lean back towards Disley. He's been the more fantasy impactful player, you know, whenever, you know, the first two years of his career in 2018 and 19, he was a tight end one whenever he was on the field. But maybe he can start to recapture some of that, you know, old mojo there. You know, we are getting deeper into the season, maybe, you know, his legs are getting a little healthier because he did have some nasty patellar and Achilles injuries in his first 2 years of his career. So maybe those legs are getting a little bit healthier down the stretch too.
I'm not sure how many questions we're going to be getting on the live stream tonight here, Tom, as things get a little bit hairier here at the end
we'll
of the
chat, Joe. I mean,
I've been enjoying that. I'm thinking for next season, I want to do more live streams, you know, because we kind of did fly by the seat of our pants at fantasypoints.com this year. I mean, with the COVID and, you know, just trying to not even knowing if there was going to be a season and trying to act like there was going to be. And Now we've had a season and we're through the season and for the most part, and well, we're going to have a lot of great plans for the future. So I want everybody to stay tuned to fantasypoints.com because we're going to have in the next coming weeks an early bird special for the 2021 NFL season. I'm pretty confident we're going to have one of those.
We're in this day and age. Season. They're pushing it through no matter what. So I'm guessing we're going to have a 2021. One thing I've learned this year, basically nothing can stop the NFL from having a season.
Yeah. So this is when money is available, when money is on the table, the NFL is going to take it. I'm pretty sure we're going to have one of those, the 2021 NFL season. So stay tuned to fantasypoints.com because in the next couple weeks, we will be releasing 2021 Early Bird, which will be the cheapest you can get a 2021 subscription. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Browley. Follow me on Twitter at FG_Dolan. We'll talk to our premium subscribers tonight on the Bidding for Points waiver wire live stream at fantasypoints.com. Thank you, everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform, and come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.